and understanding these words you know, reading, and it's great. But when you get back and look into what's read all the time, you find there's a whole lot more to it. And that's really called totality. We're going to study. And so we take the word and read it, and then we study it, and you find a whole lot in it. And so today we're going to see what chapter off of the gospel. Here we are, first chapter 14 of Mark. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came in to Galilee, preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. Same message that John the Baptist preached. The same message that the apostles preached. The same message they told us from the one in the world preached. The same gospel brought forth today from the pulpits of God's churches, from the lips of his pastors and missionaries. But God hasn't changed in no way. Man's changed the gospel. Had a lot to it, took a lot away from it. But God's word has not changed. The truth has not changed. He says here, and now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, that was Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, we know, at the trade, making a living. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And it said, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little farther, thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for another course day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in this service and be a part of this service, bring forth your word. Lord, I bring it forth. May you lay the place my lips and lay on my heart to bring forth, Lord, maybe words of encouragement and words of enlightenment upon each one of us. And we look back at the days we're some here on earth and many things that were accomplished, and in the days of his ministry was surrounded in this area. We pray God just help me bring forth some great truths that come forth, and how mighty that the thing went forth and carried out. And Lord, even today, the same truth that was proclaimed that day are still proclaimed today. Because that's the word of truth, you know, the gospel. Lord, we ask you again, just bless and go through this day. Bless our pastor, give you a message to bring to us. And Lord, please you, Lord, you touch the heart that's all lost around us. And save us for your will, touch the heart of even us here today, that are your people, Lord, that we'd be made magnified and lifted up, and through your word, and Lord, may Jesus Christ be lifted up to our worship. And Lord, us again, this blessed will go on. Lord, bless the sick and afflicted, bring healing, broken hearted, keep discomfort their hearts today. Lord, forgive where I sin against you. In Jesus' name I ask it all. And amen. We're going to bring a lesson today on the place called Capernaum. Get back and you study. You get to look up Capernaum in your Bible, the concordance and the history of Capernaum, and pretty interesting. And the thing about it is that Capernaum is, through the 2.5 years or so of Christ's ministry, the majority of his ministry was right there in Capernaum. He didn't go too far from there. Every now he'd go back to Jerusalem. You know, he was baptized, I think, and the first miracle he done was turning the water into wine into Canaan. Then he left Nazareth and he went to Capernaum. That's where he spent the most of his ministry, around Galilee. And so we go on and look at this. I always like to go back and look up a little history of Capernaum. Capernaum was a very interesting place in a day. Here what I found. Capernaum was a busy lake port town located on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. 2.5 miles south from where the Jordan River enters into it. Historically, writers of it this time wrote that Capernaum was a busy harbor with lots of fishing craft and where fish were bought and sold and crowded with men who packed the fish for shipping for selling. So that's reason these four men were fishing of the trade. That's where they were close to that area. A lot of activity going on. A lot of things ongoing and a lot of people. and said it was also a place where fishing craft and ships were built and repaired. You know, today we're, you know, good big sometimes. I worked out Hummer Lake where they built that big house called Turk Somerset. And they'll put them on a nice pretty ship, ain't going through. They didn't have it luxury there. So they had to build them on site. And so it was a big place of even building ships and boats that were for that that lake. And this lake by I looked up the Sea of Galilee, it's 8 miles wide and 13 miles long and 200 foot deep. And a matter of fact, it's the shape of a heart. You go back and look at it, and that's one thing to look about. The Sea of Galilee is the shape of a heart, or heart. Okay. The carpenters were very essential to that area. And perhaps even Joseph, Mary's husband, had worked there. That area that they no doubt lived around. Because I found it in two different verses. Where it says in Matthew 13:55, it says, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Referring to Jesus Christ. In Mark 3, it says, "Is this not this the carpenter?" So for a part of Christ's ministry, he was working along with Father, and they believed he even worked even in around these shipyards. And so this is history. I'm talking about history. So he bought the building. There were 30 years of Christ's life, but they in his able years, like in our day, you. They want to get to the age of able to help supply the part for the family, they went to work and saw sure that Christ was part of that group. Now, and which indicated even Jesus himself before his ministry made his work there as well. That's history. And I read that just for that. Now, when we go back to Mark and Matthew now, Mark gives us what happened here. You know, after John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee, preached the gospel, said that he came into the Capernaum straight, they went into the synagogue. And there's something of interest about this synagogue we'll see later on too. Let's go over to Matthew now, chapter 4, and we'll read just what we did in Mark, and very similar in writing concerning this. Matthew chapter 4, 12 and 13. Matthew, you know, these writers, they pick up on things and write in different ways. I always used this illustration years ago. You know, we have WSAV, CBS, and NBC, local news people, you know, and I know if you've got, I've always said this, be a wreck down the road, they send three reporters, they will not write the same word. Verbatim, word for word. They'll all ends up to tell them what happened, but it all be wrote in different words. So that's just like the gospel part. And they were inspired to write these, but God used this. But let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and 13. I want you to see something else. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast in prison, he departed from Galilee. You know, as I said, he departed into Galilee. He was down in Nazareth. But since they're leaving Nazareth, you know, where he made him, had done the first miracle in Cana, turned water to wine, come to Nazareth. And it says here now, and he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is up on the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, if you go back and see what that Zebulun and Naphtali, when Jacob told the allotment of, and had the border of the sons, the section where Zebulun the son owned, and the fact it was on the border of the borders of that. So that's what is it that? And that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee, and all the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them sat in the region, and the shadow and death and light sprung up." And it says here, and from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so this is the same message as the wrote here, and he came into Capernaum. You know, what it says, he dwelt in Capernaum. And in verse 17 it says that from that time he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he preached this here word everywhere he went. Here is where the first miracle was performed after the miracle of making the water from wine in Cana. He performed many miracles in this ministry, and it took place there. Then in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11, we'll read this, and then we'll not say much on this, we'll get the latter of it. Do all this here that ministered Christ, and all the things went forth, notice what it said in Matthew 11 and verse 20. And then began he to upbraid the city, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment for you. And then he knows in verse 33, or 23, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sidon, or Sodom rather, he would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, there shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom than they have chosen, than for thee. And I read that, I'm going to get on that later on. But there's something on verse 20. In verse 20, there's a word I want to show you what I saw here. So began he to upbraid the city where we were in most. See, that word most of his mighty works were done. So we see here from this and see that most of Christ's ministry was here on earth, was in and around Capernaum and around the other places on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So they were great mighty works that he did at this place. And also, if you go back to Matthew 4:18, I got a lot of scripture. I like to use scripture that I think Parker 4. And we, Brother John, use a lot of scriptures. When we use scripture, we use it in what God said, not what we say. And that's what I like about it. And so back in Matthew 4, in verse 18 through 22, here we see the things concerning the ministry of Christ. Right off, we saw here in 18 verse, as we read in Mark, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew's brother, casting net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And it goes on down here, and going on thence, he saw other two men, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, and ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and called down. And immediately left their ship and followed him. And so, what we see is, there's another scripture over in the book of John 1:43-45, where where Philip was called. Let's go to, I think it's John chapter 1:43. I want to read it to try to quote from my memory. John 1:43, it says, the day following Jesus will go forth into Galilee to find Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So we just seen where the Andrew and Peter were right there, right close to Capernaum. So Philip knows the same area. And so I read that for a reason. The thing about these cities here is of importance, because Philip was of the city of Peter and John. And the city was a small suburb 2.5 miles south of Capernaum. And I just thought about this in comparison. I thought about, Capernaum was the main hub of that area. And you just take, I'll use friends like Grayson. It's the main hub of that area. But Pactolus, not 2 miles road, is a suburb. Greenock is the main hub of our area. 2 miles down the road, 2.5 Lloyd, and on the other 2.5 miles before Portland. That's what it is. These were little suburbs that were tied directly to Capernaum. That's where everybody done their trade at. So they all live right in this area. And so, when you read about Chorazin was 2 miles north of
on the shoreline of Galilee. So it kind of gives you the first where these places are located. And so, let's go back to Matthew 9, to chapter 9 now, and verse 1. Let's look at the location. All these places were surrounded around at Capernaum. Now, where Matthew 9 and 1, or something else comes into play. This says here, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. Even Christ himself acknowledged that his own city he called was Capernaum. He done much of his work there, done much of fame in that day. Mark 2 and 1, it says he entered into Capernaum the same day and what noise that he was in the house. He even talked about the house. And that has reference, I believe, to the house where Peter lived. Because, you know, he went to Peter's house, and we know that that point, one of the miracles he did when he came there was heal Peter's mother-in-law. And it's on a different occasion that I really noticed that in Mark and Matthew both, that you'll see his house or the house mentioned. And also, they talk about this. In Mark chapter 1, he talked about how he entered into Simon's house. And Mark chapter 1, 14 through 21. Mark 1, 14 through 21. It says here, well, I've already read this, but let's read down here about verse 21. I've already read the other. And they went into the furnace straightway on the Sabbath, he entered to the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them of one having authority. And it goes on, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And it says here, let us alone. What we have to do with thee, that thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And it talked about how that he rebuked him. But down in verse 29 it says, and forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon, and Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John. But Simon's wife and mother lay sick with fever, and none they tell him of her. And he took her by the hand. It says here, and when he lifted her up, immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now, what is that? Because it shows here that they are in and around Capernaum. And Jesus, when he talked about the house, and so that I think he, according to what other writers I've looked at, when he talked about the house or the house, he always referred back to the house where Peter lived. Because you go back, there's other instances before that he was at when great crowds came and he was at the house. And so, I believe what it all leads to, I believe it. What these verses tell us. Pause in Peter's house is where Jesus resorted to on many occasions. And some writers said that was his headquarters where he resorted to many times and many groups come and was there with him. There's an occasion that when Christ was at the Capernaum in Luke chapter 7. Another interesting thought. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. It says, now when he had given all his saints in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who appeared to him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now now this centurion, also I want to bring this to him, it was also noted that there was a Roman headquarters there located at Capernaum. And there was historically, the Romans were great in building roads. And they said they had a road from Nazareth to Damascus, and on up even to the Capernaum. It was a main route. A lot of activity. And so, and on that same route where Matthew had a booth, for taxes. It told a lot of people on that road. He got a lot of taxes, see. That's where Matthew was even when Christ walked on that road one day. But anyway, it says here that the elders of the Jews, you know, this is a Roman centurion. A man was over 100, I think, soldiers in his group. That's what a centurion was, a Roman centurion. And that caught my attention when he sent the elders of the Jews to speak to Jesus. Now, this man being a Roman, now, I want you to pay attention. And he said here that they seeking him that he would come and heal his servant. So this Roman sent the elders of the Jews to Jesus Christ to beg of him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they bust off him, instantly saying, notice what they said about this centurion, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. In other words, this man worthy of you know, helping this servant. Maybe healing him. For he loveth our nation. Think about that. Here's a Roman centurion. Hope you haven't heard about him. Heard he's not there. But here's unusual. Here this is here. For he loveth our nation, and he built us a synagogue. Think about that. When you see in the reading we've already read, you see the word the synagogue. Meaning there was one synagogue. There were a bunch of synagogues in town. This book about the synagogue. When you see where Christ is going, he goes to the synagogue. So, it is, I'll read something on here in a minute then. And, 411, our nation, he had built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. He said, I'm not worthy to come to my house. He just say a word, my servant will be healed. For I am the man sent under authority, having none of the soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, doeth this, and doeth that. Yeah. But notice what Jesus said. But when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found such faith, no, not in Israel. This is a Roman, which is called a high ranking Roman general, or we see a centurion. That's something to think about. And they that spent were sent, returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. I thought that's pretty marvelous to see this. And because Mark 1 and 21, we read where that they left the Capernaum straightway and entered into the synagogue. The synagogue. So this centurion, a high-ranking Roman general, then said he wanted to build the synagogue, a place for them to worship. That caught my attention. It says here that he built this, he called all of the nation and the people. And here is something I read concerning the synagogue. Here it is. I wrote this something about the synagogue that was built in Capernaum. I don't know, you know, a lot of excavation going on over in those areas. They're excavating a lot of these sites today. And I know there's a man that writes in Christ today. He writes in a book called Israel of Glory. And he's a great man of excavation. They're over now digging and uncovered all these places are covered up. And here's what they found. To excavators, Capernaum has yielded ruins of one of the most elegant limestone synagogues in Palestine. Mm-hmm. How about that? And it has now been partly restored, which dates back to the 30th century. All right. Another thing that they found out under cover these synagogues. And I didn't know this. Like most synagogues that were built, it faces toward Jerusalem. I didn't know that. Most legitimate synagogues that we'll see, they build them facing Jerusalem. And I'm just writing on what they've unearthed over there. So it's amazing, isn't it? And so it said the synagogue was located on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, near where Chorazin was located. Chorazin. So it's just awesome. Read this stuff and get back and find all this stuff and take history, and this proves what we're reading the Bible. It proves the Bible. So here at Capernaum, Jesus performed many miracles. He healed the sick. He calmed the Sea of Galilee at one time. He preached one of his great sermons on the bread of life, John chapter 6. He preached many great messages, but this is one of the great ones. And so, we always saw when he was in Peter's house, he healed his mother-in-law. And let's go to Matthew chapter 8. There are several things listed here that Christ did while in Capernaum. Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin there at verse 5. It says here, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him the centurion. We've done read this. Let's just drop one down. We just read that. Let's drop one down. And he says that when a man heard it, verse 10, he marveled, said to them that followed, verse 22, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Now Christ speaking about the Roman centurion. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out of darkness. Out of darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed. In other words, I believe this sure centurion was a believer in what Christ spoke that day. And as his servant was healed in the self same hour, the very hour when his servant was healed. Now let's go on down. And when Jesus, there's talk about some things that happened here now at Capernaum. We already think about this, about Peter's house. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his wife and mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered in her. Now I just take from that, you know, there's something wrong with the Catholic Pope. Maybe they don't believe in wives, but if Peter's first Pope, he had a wife. There's something wrong with that religion somewhere down the road. All right, I'll just have to say that. And when the evening was come, they brought him, notice here, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be full, which the prophet Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness, fulfilling prophecy. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandments to depart from the other side. And a certain scribe came with him to Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now Jesus get ready to leave. Here the man comes, I'm going to follow you. Where do you go? Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And I don't believe he meant he lived like a hermit. I believe he had no place of his own on this earth. He had nothing, you know, for the place of his own to call home. I believe he went from place to place, and we know that he did spend a lot of nights in the wilderness, don't we? He spent many nights out in prayer. But we see here, though, he says, and another one of the disciples said to him, Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest of the sea, as much as the ship was covered with the wave. And he fell asleep, and was asleep. And his disciples came to him, woke him, saying, Lord, save us from the perish. See him right there in that area. He calmed the sea even. But the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey. And when he was come to the other side of the country, the Gerasenes, there met him two possessions of devils and so forth. And it goes on, it just goes on and tells about all these things that happened there in that area. And I could go on with all these here different miracles and these great things he did. There were many other things, and these were just a glimpse of what he did. There were numbers. You go out and you read these chapters, see it. There were many, many things he did. And so, it touches down now to the great message of it. They preached to the congregation on the bread of life. And I'd like to go back to that just a minute. And John, I believe it's John chapter 6. I've got so much here to do. I want to go to Mark. Mark chapter 6. Let's go back to Mark a bit for it. Got so many scriptures up down here. Mark chapter 6, 24. Thank you for that, but maybe be wrong. No. It's got to be Luke. There's too many verses there. Luke chapter 6, I think. What comes to mind? Well, still not right. But anyway, I mixed up on the writer here.
Should be John. Should be John 6.
Huh?
Should be John 6.
John 6. There you go. That's it. John chapter 6. Because he's down under one of the verses. Here it is. Thank you, Brother John. And it says here, there's in this great message that he brought, you know, on the bread of life. And there's many things he wrote concerning this great message. And I thought about this. Here, he brought this message here. In verse 24 it says, you know, he was... while ago we read where he went over to the other side. Well, in verse 24, he has left the other side. Verse 24 of Mark of John 6, when the people there therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took up shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking the Lord. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, comest thou hither? When comest thou hither? And Jesus actually said, Verily I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat the loaves that were filled. And that, he fed the multitude over there on the other side. But now we see he's come back to Capernaum. And I read this and I thought about this great miracle he brought. It all related to the I am the bread of life. And here at Capernaum, before this great message was brought forth, and I looked at this and looked for instance at verse 37. Here's one of the great verses. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him come to me, I will no wise cast out. You've many times in the message of our pastor in our lesson for me to preach here. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Another great verse, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Then we get down to verse 65, which is another fulfilling of the prophecy of the book of Isaiah 64:7. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. These are some of the great doctrinal truths proclaimed from the pastors and from the pulpits of the Lord's Church of today.
Amen.
They were given first there at Capernaum. And I just thought how great all this is and how it all ties together. See, I'm going to say this, and we'll tie it while I get ready to say, to preach and to teach otherwise and to believe otherwise will only bring destruction.
Yeah.
I tell that for a reason. Today, Capernaum is only a heap of stones. Go back and find it. No longer on the map. And it's called Capernaum. It's known today as a little place called Tel HUM. That's what it's known today. The city is no longer there. It's in the power of it. That's where they're excavating and finding all these great foundations. In Matthew chapter 11 and 23, I read these words, and I got to look at this. There's something that comes out of this. Matthew 11 and 23. Where it says, you already read this, oh no. and thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say to you, that shall be more tolerable for the name of Sodom in the day of judgment than to thee. We know much about what happened in Sodom and in tomorrow and the cities around. I believe that what we gathered from these truths, when he also said, woe unto Jerusalem and Bethsaida, these two little suburbs close to them. At the time of the ministry of Christ, Capernaum was an exalted place. But some terrible sin brought it down. America, at one time, was a nation looked up on. It's a terrible sin, folks, taking us down.
That's right.
That's about that. Mm-hmm. We don't know what that sin was, but Sodom came into play. Many of God's people fell into that. Here's where you go back and study history. There is no record that the people, you read all these Gospels, you not find a record over where the people ever mocked him, or ridiculed him, bring him out of town, to break his life. You don't read that nowhere. Yet, the sin of that city, I thought about this, yet the sin of that city to the eyes of man, was hidden. What did I say? Our community, Father, Earth, our family, it's hidden. I thought about this. But it was not hidden. What was not hidden from the old eye, all seen out of God.
Right.
God brought it to its destruction. And it was forgotten. Think about that. I thought that a great city proclaimed the gospel, even took care of Christ in many ways and hospitality. They said they're running out of town, they were threatening life, but yet they come to destruction. See, I believe even in the ministry of Christ. As we studied before, he knew men's heart before they even spoke. He knew what they were going to say before he spoke, just like he does you and me. I believe Christ knew the true heart of the majority of the people there. You know, we don't know our community. We don't know the heart of the vast world out there. I believe it's what it was around, you know, the Capernaum. He knew their hearts and their thoughts and before they spoke. He also knew where they were headed. That's why he wrote things very clearly. You know, John, once he became his own, he don't receive the God. Many of them didn't. Some did. A few. It tells us in Jude chapter, the little book of Jude, chapter 4, Revelation. Book of Jude, verse 4, we'll read here about 4 or 5 verses. And I believe that's the situation that happened to the burning. For there are certain men crept in our words, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men, trying to break for God as a citizen and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. So you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after destroyed them that believed not, and believed not, and didn't believe the truth. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities found about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Going after strange flesh. are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, all these filthy vapors defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. Folks, we all used to remember our carbon copy. We're almost a carbon copy by the President Merkin. And you swirl around. And we see what happened to Copernicus because of this. Where is the virgin's life? When you look at all this, do we fit in the same category? I say we do. Another thought I thought about there, where would it fit into it? Do we fit into this individually? Where are we today, God's people? We need to be a separated people. We need to stay away from this. I know there's a lot of people that were saved in around Capernaum, but we see though that sin brought them down. It brought them down. I had thought about that, you know, what a great place America was at one time to sin bring us down. Something to think about. It just hit me like a hammer, you know. I said, wow, look where we're at today in our own country. All that I say is, be a faithful few. If you're here lost today, your sin will find you out. You'd like to be able to sit at the front. Okay. Sure.